Well, we've had our share of weather here this spring. Lord knows we've seen the breeze here lately, too. It's been windy out, and that's one of the issues we run into here this spring. But also, once we get those real dry conditions out there, it gets a little crispy. It can be really difficult out there for folks who are in the emergency services because they get called sometimes to some things that probably they shouldn't get called to. Outdoor burning is something a lot of folks look forward to this time of the year. Get rid of some of that rubbish that's collected over the years, a little bit of that tree trimming, things that have come down in the wintertime. But you got to do it safely, and we're going to talk about that this morning. Mark McNeese is in with us this morning. Mark is the chief of the Atlantic Volunteer Fire Department. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, you bet, Jim. Thanks for having me out.
I know this is there are a lot of times where you kind of sit on pins and needles in that industry, in the fire industry, but springtime, there is a lot of burning out there. A lot of folks want to get out. You just have to do it safely and be aware of those conditions.
Yeah, you really do, and you're right on them wanting to get out in the spring and do it, and this year seems to be compounded a little bit by last fall. It got wet pretty early, and you know, we've been trying to do and have been doing prescribed burns and some burns for people in the last few years, and we had a hard time catching up last fall, and there's a few that we didn't get done. So you've got a little bit of extra out there that some want to get rid of, and so there's plenty of load out there right now. It is very dry, starting to green up fast, and I think it will shortly be to a point where you really can't burn, but that's just the wildland grass or the long grass. What you mentioned earlier, if they're cleaning up the yard and sticks and timber or whatever that's come down, that's a whole other ball game. That can burn any time, and that you really need to wait till it's green.
And that's really kind of the thing is you never know what you're dealing with for sure, because there are the different types of burning this time of the year. Some folks want to burn out some of those ditches that have gotten a little unruly, some of those side grasses along the fields. And, of course, like we talked about, some of the yard waste. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be probably burning your trash, but the yard waste, the shrubs and sticks and leaves and trees, tree limbs and things like that have come down over the course of a winter. We probably didn't see quite as much of it this winter. We didn't have a lot of heavy snow cover to weigh it down, but you get lots of different things going on out there. And some folks are a little bit more familiar with being outdoors and burning than others are.
Right. And, you know, if you're outside, let's just say the city of Atlantic City limits, you know, you have a little bit more freedom. We've been working really hard the last few years, working with landowners to, you know, get them to advising them when to burn, having them call in. We've tried to manage it instead of just having burn bans, and it's worked fairly well. And in fact, our calls last year for wildland fires was down considerably. And I give that credit to the fact that we're doing the education and people are getting a little bit smarter and they're checking in. And, you know, we've told them at times, you know, when we preferred they did it. Sometimes we've gone out and helped. As we've said, right now we've got a lot of CRP ground that's around and they have what's called a mid-management burn. Halfway through it has to be done. There's a program on that. Atlantic, you know, we do it within our district. I know Anita does and Wyota. I believe everybody in Cass County can do that, where, you know, we go out and plan with the landowner and do the actual burn. They get reimbursed part of it by the government, and then we do it as a service. We also will do it for anybody who's got some land they want to do and they're not comfortable with it or they want to do it, you know, and we'll do it for a charge per acre to help cover some of our time and some of our costs and fuel and equipment. Mm-hmm. So it works out really, really well because, as you said, some people, and even some people aren't as experienced, but they're even, you know, the majority of wildland fire deaths that happen are males, usually over 70 in their 80s, who most likely have been doing it all their life. Once you get to that age, maybe you're not quite as quick, maybe you don't notice something happens, and, you know, they end up being burnt in the fire they started. So, you know, I always kind of laugh when somebody says, well, it's just a grass fire, just a field fire. Well, I've been on a lot of those. It was maybe more dangerous than some of the structure fires we've been in, because they get out of control very quickly, and it can be very dangerous. You can get stuck in the middle of them. It's happened to fire departments. You know, wind changes. You get wind like we've had the last few days, which is almost impossible to fight and to stay ahead of. And so it's very important that you take into consideration what's going on around. And if you're burning, let's say we went back to those, if you cleaned up and had some timber or whatever and you burned up some logs, you get a wind like this, it could be out, but this is going to kick it up. And it can get down in the ashes and blow and start it back up. And now with the wind we've got going, and now that fire that you thought was out is now in your field and going towards the neighbors and taking out an outbuilding. So, you know, it's you kind of look down the forecast. Today might be great, but what's tomorrow look like? So, it, you know, common sense is a lot of it. But if we can just keep from getting ahead of ourselves and doing it safely, then we can handle most of this and do it in a good and safe manner.
You mentioned some of the windy days that we've had here recently. I mean, you know, you're talking 20, 30, 40, 50 mile an hour winds, but I think most folks are, I'd like to think most folks are on the ball enough to know not to be out there burning in those kind of conditions, but it doesn't take 50 mile an hour winds to necessarily cause a big problem.
No, it really does. And like you said, a 10 mile an hour wind that if you've got too much fuel load is going to get away from you in a hurry, and you get throw a few gusts in there at 20 and it's gone. And if you're not prepared, if you haven't dissed around or mowed, or it's just too close to a field, you know, it's going to be gone on you. And that, you know, we have a hard time when we have personnel there and equipment there of controlling things like that. You're just toast if you're out by yourself trying to do that. I would just mention as well, you mentioned some yard waste and stuff. Within the city of Atlantic, you know, we've had pretty much an ordinance for years now that you cannot burn within. You can, but you have to have a burn barrel. It's got to be 50 feet away from a building. It has to have a grate over it with 1-inch grate, and you can only burn the yard waste that you can fit in there. So it can't be sticking out of the top. You can't, you know, the 12-foot timber, no. So there's very few places that actually can do that, people in town. And that is for a lot of reasons, A, to protect the property, but, you know, we've had, there's so much more, maybe diagnosed anyway, but so many more people and kids that have asthma, and you know, it's a health issue as opposed, you know, when I was a kid, everybody burned leaves, and we all enjoyed it, and mm-hmm. it smelled good, but it could be a real hazard. We've had in the past, just for instance, the golf courses, where used to be not so many homes around them, where years ago, maybe they could clean up some of theirs. Can't do that anymore. We have gone out and done some, and actually overseen it on days we could do to try to keep down the distraction and from the neighbors and try to avoid any problems there. But, you know, they can't go out and just do like they used to do either. They're still within the city limits. So even if you have a big yard, you know, you're still under, you can't just go light your grass on fire if you're in the city limits. It's a dangerous and it's against the ordinance.
You talked about it earlier. When you respond to grass fires, you never really know for sure what you're getting into. You get a structure fire, sometimes you have a general idea and a visual of what maybe you're heading toward, but with a grass fire, you're never really sure till you get there. And sometimes these can turn into not just one department, but several. We've seen some of these things spread from county to county, where it takes several departments a long time, a lot of manpower to take and knock these down.
It really does. And that's one thing that, you know, I know people after it happens, you know, they might feel bad about it, and they do usually feel bad about it. But yeah, you multiply how many people are out there and how many hours. And even if it's something we do prescribed, you know, you've got 12, 15 guys out there. If it takes a couple hours, at least that we did it when we wanted to do it. If it's taking 40, 45 hours of actual man hour time and equipment to go do something when we're at work, taken away from their jobs, and then it gets tiring, and it seems like it happens in bunches. But you're right on the mutual aid. You don't know when you go out there what's in the road. I recall a couple years ago, and I know you did a story on it, and we had a day kind of like the Monday where we had 50 mile an hour wind gusts, and we had one that we didn't exactly know how it started in the grass. They lost an outbuilding, was going up across, and thankfully we had departments coming, and Anita came on 71 and got it stopped, thankfully, before it hit the railroad. Otherwise, you know, we'd have been up in Audubon County the way it was rolling that day. And, of course, the big one everybody remembers over west here that did so much damage. So, yeah, you never know when you go out there of what's coming up in the road against you.
And we talk so much about people going out doing controlled burns, what mm-hmm. they think are controlled burns, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, in the barrel or out there along the farm fields. Yeah. But also the accidental ones that start, too. Just right. Flicking something out the window. Be careful this time of the year.
Oh, yeah. You know, cigarettes is one of the biggest ones that people, you know, I don't think you should be doing it, number one. Throw it out the window, keep it in your car, and throw it away. But that is a huge cause of it. But we get, you know, the railroads go through, mm-hmm. they spark off sometimes, or maybe something that comes down off a vehicle or a truck on the interstate. We get a lot of those. Something starts something on the interstate up there, you know, sparks fly off, depends on the conditions. But a lot of those accidental ones, you know, those are the ones that obviously no one has quote unquote controlled, but it's surprising how many controlled ones get out of control. And that's why it's nice if people contact their fire chief ahead of time or the department, you know, and at least advise them. And then that chief can say, hey, you know, maybe it's not a good idea to do it now. Do it, or we'll come out and help you and advise there. So at least let them know. And then they can also let the comm center know because that way, if it gets called in and you know, you called us and told us a controlled burn, and now I've told them there's one going on in your location, and you call in, and now we know it's not controlled because you're saying my controlled is not controlled anymore.
Or somebody's cruising down the road close by and just sees smoke rising and says there's a fire and calls. Well, then they know not to send out necessarily the folks because it's one that they were had reported ahead.
Hopefully we've got some communication with them. We don't waste everybody's time running out to it.
You betcha. Yeah, if everybody's safe about it. And water. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about water, but that's kind of important too. I know a lot of the rules require you to be so far away from buildings, whatever else. I know you got to have a long hose to get the water source there, but
no doubt.
Take the time to do it and water it down good when you're done.
Make sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Well, they can get out of control real fast and be a real hassle this time of the year. And Mark, we thank you and everybody at the departments around the area for all that they do to help keep us safe, and appreciate that. Make sure you understand the rules, any rules and regulations that happen to be in your town or your county, and make sure you follow those quite closely and work with your fire department so they don't have to come out and work for you. Mark, thanks a lot.
You bet, Jim.